BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
We are living in a time like no other in history. But fortunately for us, God wrote it down all in His prophecies what would happen next. Find out what prophecies came true this week, ripped straight from the headlines. Verily I say unto you, the only way to rightly understand prophecy is from a messianic Hebrew roots perspective, for without the roots, the tree is dead. Stay tuned for the Prophecy News headline show, The Remnant's Call.
Welcome to The Remnant's Call, the Sledgehammer Show, where prophecy, politics, religion come through to your device that you're watching us on. Tonight's show is Sledgehammer Show number 410. How could one Jew cause such a big problem? We're going to be talking about Jewish history and how it touched the world and how one Jew could change the whole world. Let me introduce myself to you. I'm Rav Hanun Ben Moshe from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation, a place where Jew and Gentile worship Yeshua the Messiah as one people following the Word of God from Genesis through to the book of Revelation. And you can come out and be with us at any Shabbat, that's Saturday at 11 a.m. for worship, the news, the Word, and good fellowship. Come out to 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. Where you can be with us and you could enjoy all this beautiful stuff. And learn about the Word of God. And join us for really good fellowship on the Word of God and also the fellowship and everything like that. Let's move on from there and let's go on to our next slide. And you can send us an email, a love or hate email, to info@thesledgehammershow.com. That's info@thesledgehammershow.com. You can also see our videos at many different places on the web. Facebook, which we're streaming right now. That's what I was just checking just a moment ago. We're streaming on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Gab, USA Live, YouTube, Brighteon, Vimeo, Rumble, BitChute. Okay, so check us out on all those different venues. And you know, send the links out to people. And if you'd like to support the ministry or the Sledgehammer Show, mail a check or money order to Beth Goyim. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. Okay. And I'm joined on the line by none other than my good friend from the Holy Land Annex, none other than Ben Jimenez III. Ben Jimenez III. We're joined on the line by him from the great state of Florida, the Holy Land Annex. Okay, we're starting out. We're going to be talking about how one Jew could change the whole world. Okay, but we're going to start out with Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and there was a lamb standing on Mount Zion. And with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. Now, there's only one group of people that have his name and his father's name, okay? Jehovah, the Eternal One, blessed be its glorious name, made a covenant with one man and his lineage. Okay, that is Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Okay, if you're a Gentile, okay, and a Gentile is Anyone who is not of that lineage, that one lineage, Jehovah changed Abraham's DNA. He put something different in Abraham's DNA that was passed on to Yitzhak and to Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those people have his name on them, and they have his father's name on them. Okay. Now, us Messianic believers also have his name, Messiah Yeshua's name. There's only one group of people with both names. You can be engrafted into the house of Israel. That's spiritual. But you're still going to be of a different DNA line. Okay, there's only one group of people that can have this 144,000 virgin Jewish men from the 12 tribes. Okay, so we're starting off with that, and this this understanding on how important this one group of people is. Okay, Ben, do you concur with what this is, that there's only one group of people that could, Messianic Jewish people that have his name and his father's name? Do you agree that there's only one group of people on the planet that have this this name? Okay, we're having some technical difficulties. Let me just check something here. We weren't hearing Ben, at least on the meter movement here. Okay, let me just check our settings here. Okay, let's go to here and apply it. And let me see, Ben, can I hear you again?
Check, mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2, do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. So say what you just said about the 144,000.
Okay, I am in 100% agreeance with that statement. The only people that can bear the name of our Elohim and of our Messiah are the Jewish people, those who stem from the lineage of Abraham, Yitzhak, both.
Okay, so now that we established that, because there's a lot of people that don't believe that. So what we're going to look at is something that occurred yesterday. A single Jew, they're really Hebrews. There's only Jews are really scripturally, there's only from Yehuda, Judah. Okay, but the term Jew has been synonymous with the Hebrew people. Okay, it's not biblical, but we're going to use the term Jew for tonight because that's the way the world knows the people living in the land of Israel right now. A single Jew changes course of history. How could one people group throughout history cause so much controversy, blessing, and curses? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to read some 3,000-year-old news headlines, and we're going to take it all the way up to yesterday. One Jew in the world fervor, how the actions of Itamar Ben-Gvir might indicate where we are in the prophetic end time schedule. Okay, this one man who is not even wearing tzitzit, at least on the outside that we can see them, he's wearing a kippah. This one man went up to the Temple Mount yesterday to pray. And the whole world is in an uproar. The whole wide world is in an uproar. Isn't it funny how one Jew can cause so much international consternation just for being a Jew where Jews are told they cannot be? So he went up to the Temple Mount and it's caused the whole world to convulse as if they were having earthquakes all around the globe. Is there any other nationality or ethnicity capable of sparking such global commotion just by being who they are in a particular place at a particular time? It seems to be yet another uniquely Jewish trait. There's no other people except maybe the Puerto Ricans that can cause, you know, such an uproar. You know, a Jew going where a Jew is told not, that he can't be. You know, he goes up to the Temple Mount and prays, and the whole world is going insane. A large group of Americans showing up at the main mosque in Tehran might make headlines, but a single American, Christian or otherwise, certainly wouldn't. A group of Russian patriots parading through Kiev at the moment would grab attention, but a single Russian, not so much. Only a Jew can, by his or her solitary presence in a place deemed off limits to them, create so much turmoil as to necessitate a meeting of the UN Security Council. This one guy, but this has been a pattern throughout history. One Jew can cause so many problems throughout the globe. Man, you know, isn't this amazing that the UN Security Council is meeting because this one man went up and wanted to pray to his God on what he considers to be the Temple Mount. The whole world is going insane because one man decided to pray. This is an amazing story. What do you think about it, Ben? About this story?
I mean, I tip my hat, or wait, my keep out of the. I think it's time that we demonstrate a boldness for our faith. And this brother, you know, whether he's Orthodox, Messianic, or whatever, you know, he had the courage, the chazak, to stand where we were told we can't stand, and be who we are, you know. And I applaud his bravery and his courage. I think that it's time that more of us take a stand, and it's definitely a message that should be received by each and every one of us.
Yeah, it's something that's quite amazing, you know, what's going on. But what we're going to do for tonight's show, what we're going to do is we're going to look at things through news headlines from thousands of years ago. News headlines. We searched the internet. We went going here and there. We sought the National Enquirer. We sought the Star. We sought the New York Post. And we came up with these stories, these amazing headlines. News headline from 3,500 years ago, from the National Enquirer. No, from a news headline from 3,500 years ago. Abraham causes worldwide uproar. Abraham called out from his family to start new faith. Jehovah promises Abraham and his people will own the promised land. From Genesis 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now, Jehovah said to Abram, get yourself out of your country, away from your kinsmen, and away from your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you are to be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, but I will curse anyone who curses you, and by you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So this headline from 3,000 or more years ago that we found, we scoured the internet and we found this headline. Avraham caused a worldwide uproar because he left his family. He left his family's land. He was 75 years old and he had to get out. And the Lord talked to him, and it's changed the world from that point on, that this one Jewish man would change the whole world and cause such an uproar that the Lord would give him land, take away from the Canaanites, and he would give it to the Jewish people, to the Hebrew people. And this one man listening to God, this one man following God's voice, this one man finally leaving his parents' house, his parents' basement, after living there for 75 years, and with his wife, finally left, and has now caused a serious problem. And Itamar Ben-Gvir, a descendant from Avraham, dared to go up to the Temple Mount. He dared to go to the Temple Mount. He dared to pray to the God of his people. Now Avraham left his family. They were pagans. And he left his family to be following God. Benjamin Jimenez, what do you think of this 3,000-year-old news article that I found from the from the scriptures, that Avram was told by his Father in heaven, leave your family and go to the land which I'm going to show you. This one man, Avraham, Avram, he left his family and has caused such a problem throughout the world for over almost 5,000 or 3,000 all these years. He has left his family and God gave him this land. What do you think of this man causing this one Jew causing such a problem, Benjamin?
Well, I would say he could almost be classified as our modern day Pincus. Pincus was a man who took it upon himself to stop the curses by taking a spear and putting it through the prostitutes and the people that were prostituting with her. It takes a certain kind of boldness and a certain kind of faith to stand up for what you believe in. And we see that also in Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they refused to bow down to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar had made and to worship it. Because we are to worship our God and our God alone. And this man took that belief and that faith, and he stood his ground and prayed on the Temple Mount where no one is allowed to pray. And it's amazing that they would not allow us to pray, but yet go anywhere else in the world and the Muslims pull out their prayer rugs and they pray wherever they're at and nobody says anything to them. It's a biased society is what is being displayed in these times today. This man, this Jewish man from the lineage of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, stood with his fathers because Abraham stood up for what he believed in. Isaac stood up for what he believed in, and Yaakov fought with the angel because of what he believed in. And he didn't let him go until he received his blessing. You know, and hence we're here because of that. because of the courage of our fathers, we are here. And I think, I really think that more of us should act on our faith, because there's one thing that is promised to us, and that's everlasting life, but only if we follow and stand for what we believe in. If we sell our eternity like Esau sold his birthright to Yaakov for a plate of food, that means we have no regard for what has been given to us, and it has been given to us freely.
Yeah, it is something that's really important. So let's go on to another news headline. Another headline that we found. We dug up, we went to the annals, and we went to the chronicles, and we found another news headline. This news headline: Avram, the Jew, causes problems in Egypt. Avram causes great problems in Pharaoh's house. So Avram in Bereshit, Genesis 12, 17 and 18. But Jehovah inflicted great plagues on Pharaoh and his household because of Sarai, Avram's wife. Pharaoh called Avram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife?" So once again, this Jewish man caused a problem for an entire country. An entire country. Because the Pharaoh's men saw that Sarai, even though she was, you know, in her 70s, they thought she was beautiful. And Avram allowed her to be taken. And he said she was his sister. So God inflicted great problems on all of Egypt and all of Pharaoh's house. This one Jewish man. What do you think CNN would have done with this story? This is, "Hi, I'm Don Lemon. Don Lemon, talking to you from our offices of CNN here in Egypt. And we are talking about Avram causing great problems in the house of Pharaoh. These Jews are such a problem. They're always causing problems no matter where they go." So he left Canaan, he left his parents' house, and he comes all the way here to Egypt, and now is causing problems for our leadership. Pharaoh Biden is having such problems. Ben, this is amazing. One Jew caused all of Egypt to have such a problem. This isn't, how could one person cause such a problem? What do you think, Ben?
Well, now I understand why they're blaming us for global warming. No, I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. It's like I said, Abraham had the courage to stand up. Now, in this episode, or in this news headline, we see that Abraham, out of fear, reacted the way he did. But our Elohim, our Father, still backed him up, because you do not touch the apple of his eye. And we, my friends, are the apple of his eye, whether you want to believe it or not. For centuries, for ages, they've been trying to eliminate us. And some way, somehow, God has always protected us and has brought us out of danger. We see it all throughout history. We see it from when Abraham crossed over and left his father's house. We see it from when Abraham went to go rescue Lot from the kidnappers. We also see it when Abraham was speaking with the three visitors, and he kept asking if it were at all possible would they spare Sodom and Gomorrah if they found 50 righteous, 40 righteous, all the way down to 10. He had the courage to stand up for what he believed in. And what he believed in is what is the basis of our belief, because we believe in life. We believe that life is precious because God has given us life. And God respects all forms of life, all manners of life, from the smallest molecule to the largest animal, to the largest tree in the forest. You know, all that was created by God, and all that God has sustained with life. And that's why I believe that, you know, Abraham was who he was, because and why Abraham was chosen out of all the people in Canaan, in where was it? Uts.
Sounds like the pretzels.
Yeah, it does. But you know, it just like we've been talking about people standing up and people. Us standing up for our faith, and there's going to come a time where we're going to have to stand up and face death for what we believe in, because it's coming. It is coming. And mark my words, the same way that they've tried to kill us off in years past, in ages past, they're going to do that again. And they're not going to end until they succeed, but they will not succeed, because our Heavenly Father is going to sweep down his hand, and he's going to destroy those who have long been destroying us.
That's it. I agree with you. There's going to be a strong hand. So I found another headline. I was digging on the internet. I was searching the dark web for these stories where this one singular Jewish man caused such a problem. But we also, when I searched the web, I also found another headline. One Jew saves the world from starving to death. Joseph becomes Pharaoh's chief of staff. This is an amazing story I found in the New York Times. No. This is an amazing thing. One Jewish man with the ability to listen to God, one Jew saves the entire world from starving to death. Joseph, the slave Joseph, becomes Pharaoh's chief of staff. In Bereshit, Genesis chapter 41, verse 25 to 27, Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are the same. God has told Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good years of the grain are 7 years. The dreams are the same. Likewise, the seven lean, miserable-looking cows that came up after them are 7 years, and also seven empty years blasted by the east wind. There will be 7 years of famine." So Joseph, Benjamin, was a slave for all that time, and he told the baker and the cupbearer about their dreams, and now one Jewish man, one Hebrew in a foreign country, once again in Egypt. The headline reads, picture it. "Hi, I'm Don Lemon, talking to you from our offices here in Egypt. We have this breaking news story. One Jew saves the world from starving to death. Joseph, a Jew, becomes Pharaoh, chief of staff. Now back to you at headquarters with, I forgot the guy's name. Who's the other
Baba Wawa.
Well, she's dead now. No, the other guy on CNN, the other gay guy on CNN.
CNN.
Okay, so we see here that one Jew changed the whole world again, because he was able, with the gifting of being able to talk to Jehovah, that he was able to decipher the dreams. But because this one Jew listened to his God, because this one Jew listened to his God, the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the one who made the covenant with Avram to leave his family and to give the promised land to, okay, Joseph was able to save the world, because it says, if you read the scriptures, it said it was a worldwide famine. Okay, so this one Jewish man changed the world. Ben, what do you think of this, Ben? This one Jewish man changed the world.
Well, you know, I'm reading the headline that you wrote, and I'm reading the three verses that you have here. And from what I know about the story, it reminds me of another Jewish man that came to save the world. Joseph was hated amongst his brothers because actually they were really jealous of him, because he seemed to be his father's favorite. But, you know, because once again, Joseph knew who he believed in, and he knew who he believed in was who he said he was, he stood up and was able to tell Pharaoh, because he was so closely connected with God in his walk that our father was able to talk to him and interpret the dreams, because we know from scripture that the dreams are given to us by God. You know, whether they're warnings or whether they're different types of messages, whatever the case, the dreams that we dream are given by God, because that's what the word of God says. But Joseph was able to stand on that and let Pharaoh know, hey, this is what is about to happen. You know, you could either listen to it or not. And Pharaoh, in his wisdom, and because I believe that God touched his heart, went ahead and listened to what Joseph said, because if you've ever read about Egypt and Israel, there's been a close-knit relationship between the two, because we see that in the prophecy of Messiah, he says that his son, you know, came out of Egypt, you know, and where did Messiah go when he was little? Because they were, Herod was seeking to destroy him. They fled into Egypt, and then he came back out of Egypt. So there's been a close-knit relationship between Egypt and Israel. And Joseph just reconfirms that. The story of Joseph reconfirms that relationship. And we could see that because of the blessing that God had bestowed on Joseph and the grace that God had bestowed on Joseph, one Jew was placed in the highest ranking in a strange nation, because it wasn't the nation of Israel, it was the nation of Egypt. No other Egyptian came that close, where Pharaoh said, when I'm not here, he is Pharaoh. But when I'm here, then I'm Pharaoh. And there is nobody in the history of the Torah, the Tanakh, or the Brit Hadashah that has reached that level of importance other than Messiah, who's the other one Jew who saved the world, that he changed and stirred up all humanity for all time.
Okay, these one Jews are causing the whole world to stumble. So we had Avram being called out and the world changing because of one Jew. One Jew, one ping only. Then Avram going to Egypt, and he, one Jew, made all of Egypt tremble. And now one Jew saves the world. So these people are causing the world in such great upheaval. Now let's go to the next headline. I searched the web and I came to Antiquity CNN. CNN. This is from Dans Le Monde. The French Dans Le Monde reporting for CNN. Moses, a Jew, causes 10 plagues to destroy the Egyptian Empire. Starts the JLM movement. Jewish Lives Matter movement. This one man, Moses, started a new movement, and he caused 10 plagues. CNN is reporting that he caused 10 plagues to come down on all the empire, and it was the largest empire on the entire planet. But Moses starts the JLM movement, the Jewish Lives Matter movement. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. And say to him, Jehovah the Elohim of the Hebrews sent me to say to me to you to say, let my people go so that they can worship me in the desert. But now you haven't listened. So Jehovah says, this will let you know that I am Jehovah, and I will take my staff in my hand and strike the water in the river, and it will be turned to blood. This starts the beginning of one Jew, this 80-year-old guy, Moshe. Moses starts the JLM movement, and he said, defund the Pharaoh. He said, let my people go. We're no longer going to be slaves to you, because Jewish lives matter. So here we have another Jew, one Jew, and his sidekick, you know, sort of like, you know, Ricochet Rabbit and Droop Along. Okay. Bing, 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 Ricochet Rabbit. Okay. Just like, you know, Abbott and Costello. Just like
Laurel and Hardy.
Just like Howdy Doody Time and the Puppet Master. Just like Batman and Robin. We have one Jew. So it's no longer Batman and Robin. It's no longer Cuckoo Fran and Ollie. It's Super Jew changing the whole world. So what do you think of this headline, Ben, from CNN, Antiquity CNN, where one Jew starts the JLM movement?
Well, this is definitely, you know, another notch in the history books. Yes, Rabino Moshe, he did start the JLM movement. And because, you know, it's because he decided to stand. It's all a decision, and it all stems from the heart. If you have in your heart the strong belief that your God is who he says he is, and there is none other like him, Mikamocha, right? there's none other like him at all, anywhere, not on this earth, and not anywhere above or underneath the earth. He is the only one. And Moshe knew this, and Moshe, you know, when he was confronted by our Elohim at the burning bush, you know, he knew because of his lineage that he knew that who he was talking to was all powerful. And that's why when he told them, take off your sandals, because the ground that you are on is holy ground, he knew at that point, at that moment, who he was talking to. And because he was one that, you know, where God said, you know, that he speaks to Moshe as a friend speaks face to face, you know, Moses was the only man who ever entered into the presence of God and survived. You know, although, you know, God shielded his Shekinah from him, because if he would have revealed it completely, Moses would have been obliterated. We all know that. But Moses, not only did he stand up for God, but he stood up to God when we, as hard-headed as we are, kept going back and complaining and worshiping the golden calf. God told Moses, step to the side. I'm going to destroy these people and create a new people from you. Moses had the courage, I guess because of the relationship he knew he had with God, to stand up to God and say, well, if you're going, you know, if you brought these people out to kill them in the desert, everybody's going to talk that's the only reason why you liberated was to destroy them. He says, if you're going to destroy them, then take my name out of the book. Who does that? Who does that except someone who stands firmly for what they believe in? You know, and we go back to Joseph. We go back to Avinu Abraham. You know, these people knew who they believed in, and knew that physical death wasn't an end, but just the beginning to the next life that's promised to us by the one who created us.
Yes. By the one who created us. You know, let's take a look at another headline. These are amazing headlines that one Jew started the JLM movement. One Jew started the whole world changing to believe in the God of heaven and earth. Let's see what this next headline. We got another headline. This time from Coyote News. Coyote News. Joshua, a Jew, destroys the city of Jericho. One Jew destroyed a whole city. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, this from Coyote News. So the people shouted with the shofars blowing. When the people heard the sound of the shofar, the people let out a great shout. And the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, each one straight ahead of him, and they captured the city. One Jew makes war on a whole city. He commanded his people to walk around the city once for 6 days, one time for 6 days straight. And then on the seventh day, he walked around seven times, and then they all shouted. And then the walls came tumbling down. So one Jew leading the people, destroyed the whole city of Jericho. We went from Avram leaving his family to Yosef feeding the whole world. to Moshe starting the JLM movement, to now one Jew leading the people as Itamar Ben-Gavir went up to the Temple Mount to pray yesterday. The United Nations Security Council had to meet because one Jew went to pray to his God. But this now, Yehoshua, he commanded the people not to go and rage war and battering rams. They sounded the shofar. They shouted to their God, and the walls came tumbling down. Benjamin, how could this one Jew destroy a whole city? This one Jew changed the lives of those in Jericho. What do you say about this one Jew changing the world? Should Jericho call the Security Council?
No, it's too late for them to call the Security Council. It was on the seventh day when the people shouted, you know, that great shout, you know, and all the shofars were blasting, the city came down. I mean, there was no hope or help for that city. But as you read this headline, and we're talking about one singular Jew, you know, many people will probably say, but there were more people involved because they marched around the walls of Jericho. Yes, but what a lot of people fail to see and fail to understand is that when the Jewish people act, they don't act it's singularity. They act in community, because it's not about each of us individually, but more so each of us together as a collective, as one, echad. The people were echad in their action. They were one. So they all acted as one Jew. Yeah, they all acted as if it were Joshua. But because of the community lifestyle that the Jews have, is the result of what happened. I mean, we can look from the beginning to the very end. It's never been about one particular person, and we can also see that through the prayer that Yeshua taught us how to pray in the Brit Hadashah, because nowhere, no how, and no way does any part of the prayer say, bless me, Lord, forgive my sins, and feed me and just my family. The prayer speaks of us as a community. Starts out with our Father, not my Father, not your Father, not his Father, but our Father. Okay? And it ends with, deliver us from evil. So it's all about us as one singular unit, okay? And this is where I agree that, you know, Joshua, a single Jew, destroyed the city of Jericho, because everybody that was under that command, acted as one. And they saw firsthand the hand of God move, you know, which is something that we don't see today as much because of our shaded doubt. And once again, I say that if we believe that Elohim is who he says he is, and that there is none other that says he is, then we need to stand with Elohim, because he says over and over and over again, the battle is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness and the princes of the darkness and in the air. But those of us who believe in God He will bring us out of the furnace like he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He will save us as he saved King David from the hands of Saul, from the hands of his son Absalom. Those who dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, it, you know, will what? How's the psalm say? It's Psalm 92, right?
Yeah.
Coming out here.
Yeah.
Psalm 92.
I'm opening it up.
Right? Am I right? Yeah. It says, those who dwell under the shadow of the Almighty will... Is it? El que habita bajo la sombra... No. Those who dwell under the shadow of the Almighty... Aquellos que habitan bajo la sombra del Omnipotente morarán bajo... I forget that scripture. You got it?
Psalm 92. Stupid people can't know, fools don't understand. No. let me do this here first.
But anyway, the point is that if we know who Hashem is, if we know who Abba is, you know, I mean, we are close enough to him that we call him Abba, you know, then we know that those battles that we face are nothing for him. And he's going to protect us as long.
Okay, it looks like we're having some technology difficulty with Ben there. Okay, so we're going to...
You know, that... The purpose of man is to obey Torah, you know, and to follow God. There's nothing else in life. Everything else is a distraction. But we have to muster up the courage to turn our backs on those distractions and to follow God, like these Jews have in the history of our existence.
Let's go on to another news headline. Another news headline, Ben. This is from 2,000 years ago. News of new Jewish king causes worldwide upheaval. New king says only one way into heaven. Let's read that headline again. This is from 2,000 years ago. News of new Jewish king causes worldwide upheaval. New king. King Yeshua says there's only one way into heaven. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, after Yeshua was born in Beit Lechem in the land of Yehuda during the time when Herod was king, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." So here we have this headline where this one Jewish man, this king of the Jews, caused to this very day a worldwide upheaval. Herod was definitely scared. The world was changed from that moment on when one Jewish man was anointed king. One Jewish man, the government will rest on his shoulder. One Jewish man shall be called the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. One Jewish man would not have the kingship depart from him for forever. This one Jewish man changed the world. One Jewish man named Yeshua, the Messiah, was born in Beit Lechem. And a couple years later, when he was a toddler, Magi from the east came to pay homage to this one Jewish man who came from heaven and changed the world. News of new Jewish kings spread throughout the world, from east to west, from north to south. one Jewish man following his father's Torah would fulfill the mandate to be the Messiah. And then when he rose from the grave, 3 days after being murdered by the Gentiles, by the Roman soldiers putting a spike through him and then putting a sword in his side, one Jewish man changed the world. Ben, what do you think of this one Jewish man?
I found the scripture.
Okay,
I have to. It's Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust.
Sounds like a song.
I had to share that because it bothered me not to remember the scripture. But this is the ultimate Jew that has stirred up the whole world. There has been controversy from the moment that he was born to even after his resurrection and his death and his resurrection. Even to today, there are so many people, okay, that are trying to suppress this news. You know, namely the extreme left. You know, they don't want this. They don't want people to know that Messiah is the actual Jewish king. You know, it's when he was born, you know, just like Moshe, just like all the other Jews, they faced great danger. You know, Moses faced near extinction by being placed in a straw basket in the River Nile with all those crocodiles and alligators. But he was saved by the hand of God. He was raised in Egypt under Pharaoh's protection and turned around and freed the Jews from Egypt from the hand of Pharaoh with you know, God's help, of course. But here, our Jewish king, our Messiah, stirred up the world, okay? It turned it upside down because Herod thought he was the only Jewish king. And if you read history, Herod was not from the line of Judah. He was placed there by the Roman regime, okay? And when the Magi came, he was scared. He was in utter fear for his life, because he thought that, oh, my lifestyle and everything that I worked for and everything that I built is going to be taken away from him because there's a new king. You know, but little did he know is that the new king isn't only the new king, but he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Aleph and the Tav, and in Greek, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the living Word. He is the living Torah. And he brought us a message that showed us how to come back to the Father and live a righteous life. And because he was able to do it, he showed us that we're able to do it, because he didn't come down as just a spiritual being. He was flesh and bones, and he's still flesh and bones to this day, I believe, because his body is not anywhere to be found. his body was has ascended to heaven. And when he comes back, he's going to come back as the conquering king to take his place on the righteous throne. And unless we turn back to him and follow him, we're not going to see that eternal life that he so promised us. What we're going to see is an eternal death that he has prepared for the devil and his angels.
So we come back to where we began this Sledgehammer Show. Now, if you've missed any Sledgehammer Shows, you can watch all the past shows on the sledgehammershow.com. So Itamar Ben-Gavir goes up to the Temple Mount. For those with eyes to see and ears to hear, this is yet further evidence, not of Israel's uniquely heinous behavior, as the media likes to paint it, but rather of Israel's uniquely divine appointed role in our world. Think about it. Why should anyone really care what this one Jewish guy does? Religious sensitivities are offensive in varying degrees in many places around the world every day, often with violent reactions by one group or another. No one bats an eye. In fact, 99% of the folks aren't even aware it happened, nor would they care. So Ben-Gavir, Itamar Ben-Gavir, goes up to the Temple Mount. It's somehow special, somehow worthy of the world's greatest powers meeting at the UN in an emergency session. One Jewish man has caused the world to be on edge. From the time of Avraham, from Avraham being called out, to Yosef supplying the world with food, to Moshe being leading the starting the JLM movement, the Jewish Lives Matter movement, to Moses leading the people through the Red Sea, and Jehovah destroying the armies of Egypt, to now Itamar Ben-Gavir going up to the Temple Mount to offer a prayer to his God, causing the world to have trembles and start ready to start World War III. These Jews are the real Jews. No one would have so many problems unless something was real about them. Now, does Itamar Ben-Gavir know his Messiah? No, he does not. But one day he will see the Son whom was pierced and mourn him like it was an only son. You've been listening to The Remnant's Call, The Sledgehammer Show. For Ben Jimenez, I'm Rav Hanun Ben Moshe from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation. Until next week, Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom, this is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to The Remnant's Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, bethgoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. And click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnant's Call.
If you have not taken your first steps to be born again, just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer. Ya'e Adonai, panavodeh.
Yisabunai Panavoleka Vayatsem Lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face and shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you his shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation. If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles living as one in the Messiah Yeshua. BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the Book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture, truly the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend a day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures, searching for clues to understand what they mean and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into his eternal word, not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of his kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there. Because Shabbat is so special to him, there is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. We close the Shabbat together with a reading of the new week's parasha. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, Yeshua. Shalom.